Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Still Unnamed podcast. This is our second episode. I guess I should introduce myself. My name is Paul Hamilton, and along with me is my lovely wife, Nikki. Say hello, Nikki.
Hello.
And so last week was our first episode. It was sort of a test, short little one segment, 15 minute thing just to try it out and see how it went. And we had a lot of fun, so we thought we'd do at least a few more of these.
And surprisingly, we had quite a few people listen to it. And I don't know if that's just because we told them, you know, prior to them listening to it, that they would find out the name of the baby.
Yeah, we sort of cajoled people into listening to it last week. So this will be the real test, right? If nobody listens, it's because nobody cares what we have to say. but I think we'll probably do something closer to what we have in mind for the format of the show on a regular basis. What'd you do this week, babe?
I feel like my weeks are kind of boring for most people because I don't do a whole lot.
I could see that. But, this week was kind of exciting, right? Because right after we recorded the podcast last week, the next day we went out and we made a long overdue purchase. By long overdue, we're talking 9.5 years overdue.
Yes. I finally convinced you to buy something.
Yeah,
that I've been asking you to buy for a long time.
Well, you're a big fan of barbecue. We're both big fans of barbecue, but we've always lived in apartments where they tend to have regulations against open flames on their shared property. So I'm kind of I don't know where it really came from. It wasn't like my dad was a huge charcoal is the only way to go sort of proponent. I think it was just sort of a...
I'll tell you where it came from. I think it was Team Juicy Hog.
Team Juicy Hog.
You think that did this. Yeah, because it was kind of heresy to ever talk about doing anything but charcoal grilling within our group of friends.
Yeah, that was probably what it was. So I couldn't... I guess I felt like I couldn't, you know, I couldn't be a member of the team if I... if I was a heretic with the gas grill, but that was really the only option that we had. So I held out for a long time. You know, if I can't have a charcoal grill, I'm not going to have anything, which was sort of the hardline stance that maybe wasn't necessary.
Which meant the only time we were ever getting barbecue was when we were going to our friends' houses.
Right. And everything else had to be sort of, improvised or, some sort of alternative. So we did a lot of broiling and we baked a lot of meat.
We had a foreman for a while.
Yeah. And none of it was really the same. Mm-mm. You can't, there's something about, the underneath direct heat grilling that makes it go. But we finally saw a gas grill, a small little two burner gas grill on sale. And so you convinced me to pick it up. And even that, after I was sort of already on board with the idea, I mean, it took you a couple of weeks to wear me down to actually spend the money.
Yeah, definitely.
So we went out and picked that up. And we didn't even use it until, what was the first night we used it?
Tuesday. So I think we got it Sunday, and we used it for the first time on Tuesday. But we got it pretty late on Sunday night, so...
Oh, I thought it was Saturday. Okay, so we got it Sunday night, and then we didn't get a chance to use it until Tuesday. But man, it worked out great. I mean, we just threw a couple of chicken breasts on there, and a little Montreal seasoning, and some barbecue sauce, and we were pretty amazed. First of all, the speed. I think I underestimated... The speed savings that you get from using a gas grill versus charcoal. Because I work from home on Tuesdays, so I was just able to, even though my shift is late, so I get off about 7:30, you know, I was able to pretty much stand up from my work and then go outside and start the barbecue up. But I think we even figured out that I could actually make the whole commute home and still have enough time to barbecue something as long as it wasn't a slow roast kind of situation.
Yeah.
So
that... And the interesting thing was that I don't know if I just I can't tell the difference really between charcoal and gas. I'm sure if I had both at the same time I could tell the difference. Or if it was just a matter of us not ever having a grill, but it was like the best barbecue ever.
Well, I mean, this is what we were talking about after we'd barbecued a couple of things too, is I don't know that the taste is really so much. It's sort of more of a manly, a testosterone technique sort of thing. Now, you can't do quite as much with, fiddling around with different kinds of briquettes, methods of lighting the fire. There's the whole process that I think is, I don't know, there's some sort of masculine proving yourself element to the whole thing when you can coax an actual fire that you lit yourself into something that then translates into roasted meat. And I think you miss a little bit of that. So, and there's some other elements. There's not a lot of smoke involved in the propane flame, and so there's not quite as much of the smoky taste.
You pointed out too that we can't do something, like ribs, because you can't really slow roast anything because it's a pretty quick process. So
Well, I guess you
that's.
could turn down the gas and, low heat it and that kind of stuff, and maybe you get away with it. I think it does get really hot really quickly, and you don't get much of the smoke. So, plus the propane is, for something that, you're just letting it run like all day, for example, would get more expensive than, a couple of dumps from the briquette bag.
Yeah.
So, maybe that's a little bit of the part of it, is you can't quite do some of the longer roasting, smoking kind of actions. But yeah, hey, look, just for throwing some burgers, I what we did sausages and hot dogs one night, and instead of microwaving them, which is our typical hot dog cooking method, we threw them on the barbecue for a couple of minutes, and they turned out really good.
They did. So now we just have to hope that, Team Juicy Hog doesn't shun you forever for breaking down and going the gas route.
But I think at the end there, they were so embarrassed to have a friend that didn't even own a barbecue that they were just kind of like, "Why don't you just go ahead and bite the bullet, buddy? Why don't you just do the gas? If that's the only option that you have, roll with the option that, play the hand that's dealt you," kind of thing. So we finally did that, and I think we ended up barbecuing 3 times last week. We had chicken a couple times, and then the hot dogs, and it worked out really well. And my belly was very full every night because I really enjoyed the way that it was. And speaking of full bellies, we are also noticing that this week that your belly, which is not full of food so much as baby, is constantly in your way.
I don't account for how big it is. I never think it's as big as it is. So I don't allow enough space to get in and out of places
So,
and
weren't you saying you had a hard time with a bathroom stall at one point?
Yeah, it seems at this point that handicap stalls work out the best because I can get into the regular stalls fine when it's a door opening outward. Anytime a door opens inwards towards me, it seems lately that I'm bumping it into my stomach, the
Well, those.
doorknob, or I have to back up almost on top of the toilet to get enough clearance to get back out again.
Well, yeah, I mean, those little tiny, toilet stalls, you kind of have to do the lean back over the toilet anyway, and there's not much room for you to, I mean, you can only lean back so far and you're still sticking out there. So I understand how you get sort of trapped in one of those things. But it's not just that. I mean, how many times have I popped you in the stomach or bumped you walking by and almost knocked you down? Because, I mean, you're a little bit too close to one side of the hall, or we're trying to maneuver through the kitchen, which, I mean, we have a decent sized kitchen compared to some of the ones we've had in some of our apartments, but it's longer than it is wide. So if you have one person on one side, one person on the other, if you're passing by, the tendency is you turn sideways, right? That's how most people get by each other. That doesn't work anymore
No.
because, now you're, if I'm carrying something hot or whatever, now you're throwing your belly into the line of smoldering food or, some sort of pan that just came out of the hot water from the wash, the sink or whatever. And,
I also found it amusing that both you and Brandy this week, when you came to give me a hug, you kind of leaned forward in anticipation before you even got up to me.
well, I can't speak for Brandy, but I know for me that's become sort of a self-defense mechanism because you've got this kind of like sumo bounce thing going on. If I just go in for a normal hug or whatever, I could end up falling on my back.
So now you're saying I'm big and I'm powerful and sumo-ish, which is not what you're looking for.
It's really sexy, I gotta tell you.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm feeling hot these days.
But although your belly has been an endless source of amusement this week, we figured out that so in addition to the regular kicks that Callie does, she's started to sort of push, I guess. Is that the right word?
Yeah, she pushes, she rolls around. It's a really, really weird feeling
Well, you
to feel
said,
like your entire stomach is just kind of moving independently of you.
right, but you also said that you started to feel kind of like you were able to identify specific parts. It wasn't just sort of a vague bouncing against the inside of your body. It was more of like this is an arm pushing out, or a limb at least, whereas this is something bigger and heavier, like a bottom or a head, one or the other.
Right, that's, I mean, you can definitely, if you, when she's pushed up against my stomach, if you feel that area, you can tell that there's a body part there. I just am not at the point where I can say, oh yeah, that's definitely a foot or a hand or, I mean, I feel really bad that I can't even identify her head from her bottom right now, but both are round and hard.
But at least it's a difference between that and, you know what I mean? Like, because before it could have just been her head bouncing against the inside, and that's, oh, that's a kick, where obviously that's more of a headbutt or whatever. But
Right.
now there's at least a distinction between the bigger parts of her and her extremities, right?
Yes, definitely. And she's responsive now
Right, so
to
she could
us.
push a limb out, and then you could push back on it, and then she'll push it back again. So it's we call it Cali cake. It's like kind of like playing patty cake with her in utero or whatever. It's kind of fun.
I don't think she appreciates it though when you take my stomach and you shake
Well, she, she's.
it. That's like an earthquake to her. I don't think she really likes that game as much. I know I don't.
Well, I maybe I'm more vigorous, but I was just taking the cue from you, right? I mean, you used to try and wake her up so that you could do the kick counts and you'd kind of give yourself a little shimmy shake there.
Yeah, but mine was a little bit more gentle. I mean, you like come up and like do the whole I'm gonna shake your belly, kind of thing, which if anybody else did that to me, I would punch them, honestly.
I'll try to dial it down a little bit. Of course.
Especially if there wasn't a baby in there.
Well, yeah, there's that. Well, I mean, but the thing is, I mean, she's been like this for a couple of months now. But she's really good about she'll be kicking up a storm, and you'll finally be like, okay, come over here, you gotta feel this. And as soon as I get over there and put my hand on you, she stops moving.
Yeah, she does like to mess with you.
So I was just trying to get her to respond. It's like I walked all the way across the room and I was supposed to be feeling something, so wake up.
That's a good way to get her to respond. Make her mad.
Yeah, I didn't think it all the way through, I'll admit that. So what else did we do this week?
Well, we had our first pediatrician interview.
Ah, yes.
And I say first because we, at least I thought that it would be like a done deal because he came recommended from a friend, and I had actually kind of met him previously in a random situation where he was assisting my friend's sick baby. So I met him at the hospital, and he seemed really nice, and she said she was really happy with him, so we made an appointment to do an interview to just ask him some new parent questions and
Well, I thought it was more of a screening, and maybe I'm the only one who thought that way, but I didn't know that it was more of a, this is just a meet and greet kind of thing.
well, you hadn't met him previously, you know,
That's
and
true.
so.
That's true.
And plus, I had really, really hoped that it would be
Just
a
that easy?
situation. Yes, because I don't even know where to go from here as to how to find a pediatrician to interview
Well,
going forward.
'cause I wasn't that thrilled after the interview was over.
No. No, you were almost hopping mad by the time we left.
Well.
I mean, so we made the appointment and they were very, very nice about setting up an appointment, and I didn't think it was a big deal because everybody kept saying you need to interview your pediatrician first to make sure you have the same ideals because, you know, we have some concerns about vaccinations and
Sure.
I don't remember what some, and I guess maybe communication as far as having a doctor that's going to get back to us quickly and be okay with us kind of bothering them a lot at first, you know, as new parents.
Being neurotic.
Exactly. So we made the appointment and we went in, and the staff was probably the nicest office staff we've ever come across in the medical community.
They were incredibly gracious and kind, which I think set the stage sort of awkwardly for me, considering the way that I ended up leaving. You know, it was like, oh, this is going so well so far. Somehow by the end I was a little confused because like, well, it didn't end the way that I thought it was going to from the way that it started.
Yeah. And it was a cute little office with it was nicely decorated, very kid friendly, obviously, since it was a pediatrician's office, but it always cracks me up that at pediatrician's offices they have the sick entrance and the well entrance and they just keep the kids completely separate.
It makes sense.
It does make sense. It's just kind of funny because you would never see that in a regular doctor's office, even though maybe you should.
Yeah, I think they should institute that because I've sat next to way too many like sweaty dudes with clearly 103 degree fevers, like hacking over my shoulder or whatever.
I guess they figure, you know, adults don't have the immune systems of kids, so they can just deal, but
Yeah.
I'm on board with them instituting it for across the board.
That
It would be nice.
would be good.
So we got in and we got a meet with him, and he gave us a little information packet about his vaccination schedule and just different tips for caring for a newborn, and he asked us if we had any questions before he even started. And I think that's when you asked him your first question about vaccinations, because that was our biggest concern.
Well, you know, we just read a bunch of stuff that indicated that there was some controversy about the what I assumed was sort of standard, you know, vaccination procedure in the United States. And I was just looking for his general take on the controversy, really. And I think somewhere in there I mentioned something specific that he really just glommed onto. I think I said something about autism.
Yeah, and I think that we should be clear that we're not against vaccinations, and
No.
I think the concern is that there's a lot of new vaccinations that weren't around when we were kids
Yeah.
that seem kind of unnecessary in a way. You know, like the chickenpox vaccination, I mean.
Well, in a really roundabout way, he kind of got to that point eventually and said, yeah, some of these aren't necessary. But he took a really long time to get there and you know, he spent too much time talking about some random case study from Florida where one kid had gotten way too many vaccines all at once because of special circumstances. It had nothing to do with what we were looking for, I don't think. And he talked about it for so long that by the end, he was rushing us out of there and was like, well, you talked the whole time, you know. If you ran out of time, it's because you wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, we didn't feel like the questions that we were able to ask were ever really answered. And then in addition, I kind of felt like I didn't even get a chance to ask all my questions.
Because we
kind of
rushed
us off. Yeah.
So, and you know, but he was a nice guy.
He was very, very nice, which was the frustrating part, is because he seemed like he'd be really, really good with Callie, but I don't know if we would be rushed in and out of his office when we brought her in for something because he had a schedule to keep, if we'd ever really get our concerns addressed, you know, if there was something wrong with her.
And I think that's what ultimately got me, you know, frustrated and angry as we were talking about it on the way home, was just this idea of, look, I don't want to have questions about Callie's health and then ask it and then get, you know, blinded with science for 45 minutes and end up walking out of there with my head dizzy and then realize 10 minutes later, Sep, he never actually answered my question, which is the way the interview felt. And I'm like, if that's just us talking to him without, you know, Callie in the room, how's it going to be if we actually have to take her in and deal with a problem or something? So that was, it was pretty frustrating to feel like that we had found a nice guy that was missing that communication thing we were so focused on making sure that was going to work out for us. So,
and the thing is, I'm sure a lot of people either listening to this or if we told them the story would think, okay, you guys are being a little intense about your doctor choices. But I think that you really want to make sure that you have a good doctor for your child, even more so than even your own doctor, because I think you can put up with a lot if it's a doctor treating you. And I feel like a lot of times people in the medical community kind of push you around anyway, and even though they're supposedly working for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we've had plenty of run-ins with, like, your primary care physicians and stuff like that where, you know, I mean, if you just don't communicate well with somebody who's supposed to be helping you when you're sick, then it's really hard to get anywhere with, especially something that's, you know, even the slightest bit mysterious. If they don't just have the answer right there in front of them from some book or class they took, you know, if you ever have to interact with them to get a problem solved, if that interaction point is not clicking, forget it. Everybody's just going to be super frustrated and, you know.
And kind of the stance I think I'm starting to take with having a daughter in general is that you're their advocate. They can't speak up for themselves so much. And so you kind of put up with a little bit less than you would with yourself.
That's very true. Because, you know, if you don't get along completely with your doctor, you can just kind of say, eh, whatever. It's, you know, it's like dealing with Comcast or whatever, you know. I mean, whatever. Ultimately, you get what you need out of it. And if you have to put up with some garbage every once in a while, whatever. But, yeah, if there's somebody that is relying on you to make good decisions on their behalf, then there's not a lot of your tolerance for being able to shrug things off is drastically diminished. So I guess we're kind of back at the drawing board now.
Yeah, I think we have another pediatrician we're meeting with at the end of the month that I picked arbitrarily off of, you know, our insurance website. And I was disappointed because I wanted to try another pediatrician at Palo Alto Medical Foundation. And we were told when we tried to set up an appointment that insurance doesn't cover interviews. So it would be a $50 out of pocket type situation, so I don't know
Well, I mean,
what
especially
we're gonna do.
if we're gonna be super picky, I maybe that's the price that we pay for not just going with the first option, but on the other hand, considering we're treating this as a fairly significant decision, doesn't feel like we should necessarily be financially punished as that bad just for wanting to make sure that we get a good doctor.
After the whole name debacle, I don't think anybody listening to this is actually going to be surprised that we're having a difficult time finding a pediatrician.
Probably not.
They feel sorry for our child already.